The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Moyet. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. This is your host, Ida Moyet, and we are continuing the Sports Maverick special series, Proactive Treatment of Concussions in Sports. And today, we're going to have some special guests that will be returning with us. Dr. A, who was with us last week, who talked about the proactive treatment with photobiomodulation, and also has written the first world literature on the technology of photobiomodulation that deals with stroke patients' rehabilitation. He'll be back with us as a guest host. But we're also going to be welcoming a brand new guest to our panel, Dr. Daniel G. Amen. And we call him the Brain Enhancement Doctor. He is skilled in brain enhancement therapy and something new that we're going to introduce, which is called SPECT Imaging Techniques. SPECT Imaging Techniques. So before we get into this here, I want to just simply give you a few announcements. Obviously, you know this is a four-part series. We are actively trying to uncover all the activity that is taking place out there in terms of proactive treatment of concussions and brain traumas. We know that the application of this is so far reaching from the show that you learned last week on the show that people come back from, you know, war in Iraq and Afghanistan and have experienced, device explosions and don't realize that they have in fact experienced a concussion, and they don't find out until they're later diagnosed because of some of the symptoms that begin to appear later on in life. We also know that there's a lot of talk out there about athletes killing themselves when they begin to understand that they're not what they used to be when they get to about the age of 40. So we're hoping we're taking a proactive approach to this, and we're basically exploring the relationship between science and medicine and how we could actually change the direction of the actual treatment of these cases and basically help to prolong any kind of illnesses and maybe stop it before they happen. That's pretty much it. So let me bring Dr. A back and welcome back to our show. Welcome back to our show, Dr. A.
Well, thank you very much, Ida. It's good to be here.
Well, you know that our special guest is Dr. Daniel G. Amen, and I'm glad you're back with us here on this panel. And so I'm going to have two doctors going back and forth and really discussing this because you guys are on the forefront of this. So I'll just give a little bit of update here. You know, Dr. Amen comes kind of like a legend because he's on so many talk shows. He's an international speaker. He's a best-selling author. He's a brain enhancer expert, award-winning physician. He is the founder and CEO and medical director of this world-renowned clinic called Amen Clinic. It doesn't even get any greater than that, right? And he has the world's largest imaging and brain rehabilitation study on professional football players, which not only demonstrates their significant brain damage and high percentage of these retired players, but also the possibility that rehabilitation can take place. And on that, why don't we just welcome Dr. Amen to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Amen. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you a very curious question here. And Dr. Abb, if you think of something, please just chime in here with me.
Sure.
What made you want to collect the large database of functional brain scans? 70,000 scans?
Well, you know, I've been doing it for 21 years. So my training is, I'm a psychiatrist. And, you know, we're the only medical specialists that never look at the organ we treat. So for over two decades now, I've been agitating my colleagues to go, come on, how do we know what's going on with our patients' brains unless we look? And so we've been actively involved in performing a number of different brain imaging studies, but the one we're most known for is called Brain SPECT, S-P-E-C-T imaging, which is a nuclear medicine study that looks at blood flow and activity patterns, and it just changes everything you do. And one of the big, first, most important lessons I've learned is that mild traumatic brain injury changes people's whole lives. And nobody knows it because they get depressed or they get early dementia. They see psychiatrists who, as a profession, aren't looking. And so nobody knows it. So when we first started looking at the scans, we went, well, that looks like brain injury. Did you have a brain injury? And people will go, no, no, no. And then we go, are you sure? And then they tell us they fell out of second-story windows. They were in car accidents where they went through windshields of a car. And we began to think, you know, this is really important. Your brain is soft. Your skull is hard. The skull has many sharp bony ridges. And you need to start protecting your head. Now, I played football growing up. I love football. But when I started to see high school players with concussions or college players and then pro players, I went, holy smokes, we have a problem and nobody knows about it. And that's what caused me, goodness, 3-4 years ago now to embark on studying NFL players. And it's just been very interesting. I mean, sad because there's a very high percentage of brain injury, but exciting in that many of these brain injuries can be rehabilitated if you put them on a brain smart plan.
Okay, so let me just go back to the scan. Now, the scan helps you diagnose and manage conditions of, you know, what type of things does it help you manage?
Well, the scan basically gives us three pieces of information on the brain. It tells us which areas work well, which work too hard, and which don't work hard enough. And so good activity, too little or too much, and then our job is to balance it. So, for example, Fred McNeil is one of our players who lets me talk about him publicly. And he comes in and he's depressed, suicidal, and he can't remember anything. And when we look at his scan, he shows very low activity in the front part of his brain, the most human, thoughtful, judgment part of the brain, and very low activity in his temporal lobes. And so our job has been to try to strengthen those areas in whatever way we can do it. And as we do, he lost his suicidal thoughts. His mood is better, and his memory is better. So now we get excited that not only can we help pinpoint the problem, but we can use the scans to help direct and guide treatment protocols.
Okay. Now, one of the things that's always bothered me is the athletes always get arrested for DUIs. And I don't understand that because it's like there's a disconnect between I have received all this money as a professional athlete. I have all this future in front of me. So why am I getting arrested for substance abuse? What is causing that? Are they medicating these conditions?
Well, you know, it's not simple. It's not one answer. It's another thing that the scans have taught us. There are multiple reasons why people do what they do. But if you give someone a lot of money, and then you take away the judgment, forethought, impulse control part of their brain, you hurt that, well, they're much more likely to make bad decisions. So I remember, you know, years ago I'd be watching ESPN and watch the highlights, and then I'd see who got arrested that day. And my first thought was, there's just a whole bunch of brain injury in this population that nobody thinks about. Because the arrests tend to happen more in the collision sports like boxing and football than in some of the other sports.
Okay. Now, I read that the concussion occurrence is greater in soccer than it is in football.
I think that's nonsense.
Why is that?
Well, I would say that's nonsense because football is a collision sport. It's the purpose of the game, where it's not the point in soccer. And even though, yes, there are bad concussions in soccer, you get kicked in the head, you get your legs taken out from you, and your head hits the ground. Your head hits somebody else's head. No question. But in my mind, that would be sort of something a writer wrote to, you know, make a sensational headline than the actual truth.
Okay. So let's just assume then, and again, having read some of the material, you know, you're seeing people with mood disorders, anxiety and panic disorders, obsessive behavior, substance abuse, you know, memory problems, temper problems, and we see a lot of relationship and marital struggles. Speak a little bit about that, because I'm assuming that these have to be things that are the result of these traumas.
Well, no question. Your brain's involved in everything you do, how you think, how you feel, how you act, how you get along with other people. And when your brain is troubled, you're much more likely to have trouble in your life. Now, if you look at any profession, depression's just a very common illness. And marital problems are common. You know, half the people get married get divorced. So it's on top of those you add repetitive brain damage. Well, that's going to give you some pretty serious issues. One of our other players, Cam Cleland, who played for the Saints and the Rams, he retired when he was, I think, 35 and had marital problems and mood problems and temper problems. And he had many concussions, including a hazing incident that happened with the New Orleans Saints, where what they did with the rookies is they put pillows over their head, pillowcases over their head, sent them through a line of veterans who had socks with coins in them. And the veterans would beat the rookies. I mean, it's like, how stupid is that? But it was actually Cam who caused the NFL to step in and say, look, hazing's illegal. When you have brain damage, you have problems in every area of your life.
Okay. So I want to go back to the scan. Is this scanning that you're doing, is it invasive? Is it potentially harmful in any kind of way?
It's a nuclear study, so people get a little bit of radiation, but it's a normal medical amount of radiation like a CAT scan. It's never been shown to hurt anyone. The information we get is so powerful that, we've done 73,000 scans on people from 90 different countries. No one has ever had a bad side effect of a scan. People have bad side effects of having undiagnosed brain problems every day.
Okay. Now, I want to go back to a person who's in a car, and they have a car accident, and they hit their head on the windshield. What is the impact of that? What do you see in the brain? If you've seen, because you've probably seen that type of a scan before, what does that look like?
Well, if your head hits the windshield of a car going 30 or 40 or 60 miles an hour, it's going to cause trauma to the front part of the brain as that part slams up against the skull and the ridges in the frontal and temporal lobe regions. And it can also give you problems in the back part of the brain because the brain is in a closed space. It's got nowhere to go. So if you hurt the front, it's going to bounce and has the possibility of also hurting the back. Now, there's a lot of brain brain-enhancing and brain-repair properties that the brain has. So the brain will go through many healing processes. It depends on the health of the brain going into the collision. So if your mom was good to you when she was pregnant with you, you have more reserve in your brain. If you were fed right and nourished and educated, your brain is always developing reserve. But if, on the other hand, say you played since Pop Warner, that since you were 8 or 10 years old, you've been banging your forehead, you've been constantly stealing your reserve, then when you go into that accident, coming out of it, you might have a lot more problems than people who went into the accident with healthy brain function.
I see. Okay. We're going to take about a 3-minute break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to continue talking about proactive treatment in sports for collision, and also for, we're talking about, you know, concussions and brain traumas and some of the impacts that these athletes are experiencing long-term as well as short-term. We've got Dr. Amen here with us and also Dr. Ab, and we're going to continue this in 3 minutes. We'll be back in three.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new 5-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show, Tackling the Game of Life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Mavericks Show. It's Ida Moyet, and if you're just joining us now, this is part 2 of proactive treatment of concussions in sports We are today talking with Dr. Daniel G. Amen. He is a brain enhancement therapist as well. He uses a technique called SPECT imaging techniques, and he's using that on a lot of retired NFL players. We're talking about the impact of collisions, sports, on the brain and on the lifestyle. We also have some of our co-hosts here. We have Dr. Abe, who, of course, last week led our charge here on proactive treatment with photobiomodulation. And, of course, that is he has created the first report in world literature on the technology of photobiomodulation in stroke patients, rehabilitation, and that will be presented in BMJ Case Reports here near in the future. I want to welcome both Dr. Amen and Dr. A back to the show. Welcome back to the show, sirs.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
Welcome back. As we begin back into exploring the relationship between science and medicine here, I want to direct this question back to Dr. Amen. Dr. Amen?
I'm here.
Okay. You know, I'm a little familiar with football because I have a nephew who's played sports, and he has had successfully 8 or 9 years in the NFL, has 2 Super Bowl rings. So I know a little bit about collision, okay? He probably broke everything in his body, including neck injuries and everything, okay? And one of the things that, because of my curiosity, I'm always watching the process. And I remember that when he first went to the NFL, there was a process before he entered into this. He was playing for a Division I school. And a Division I school really and truly gave him state-of-the-art medical treatment. State-of-the-art medical treatment. At least it was available to him. And I remember a couple occasions, though, these athletes would leave the field, and they would go home and ride on scooters back to their dorms, and they would have had some hits that were unbelievable in college. I mean, unbelievable. And when it happened to him, I take him right back to the trainer and say, do something about this. You know, so there were active parents and there were inactive parents. Now, when he decided to go to the actual NFL, he had to go through a series of preparation for that. And one of the things is that he went to the combine. At the combine, they give you a physical examination. But I don't remember him talking about any kind of brain scans or any of those things at the combine. And then likewise, I've actually seen his medical examination in the NFL, and I don't see any of that as well. And so I'm wondering, could that be a contributing factor that the brain has been put back on the back burner? And people like yourself, Dr. Abb, as well as yourself, are now beginning to bring this to a forefront. And if that's the case, then how can we continue this journey? So speak a little bit about that, because you've been working with some athletes from the NFL, retired players, and you've seen the conditions of their brains, and you know the therapy that you're doing. Take me back to the process of how some of this may have been avoided.
Well, no one's looking at their brains. And so I always go, how do you know unless you look? And so, you know, what they do at the combine and they do before each season is they give them something called an impact test, which is actually a very simple test to measure some simple processes in the brain. And the players, actually one of my players told me this, they cheat on the test. They score badly. Because that way, if they get a concussion and they still score badly, they can still play. And Peyton Manning actually came out and said he did the same thing. And I'm thinking, come on, Peyton, you got to be smarter than this. What we need to do is functional imaging studies on players to see what's the state of their brain, and like we would rehabilitate their shoulders, really work hard to rehabilitate their brains and keep their brains in the best shape possible, because without looking, you really don't know. because ultimately it's your brain that decides to make a tackle, that makes a reaction to a pass, that hits the ball with their head in soccer or hits a baseball. It's your brain. And if your brain's not healthy, then you're more likely to have trouble in whatever you do. And the exciting thing is rehabilitation through many, many different methods is clearly possible. We've seen it in our players through things like simple supplements, dietary changes, getting sleep apnea diagnosed properly and treated, using hyperbaric oxygen, neurofeedback, or using certain kinds of therapy to help them process light better. There's a condition called the Erlen, I-R-L-E-N, syndrome, which is very common in people who have concussions, and wearing simple colored tinted lenses can make a huge difference for how their brain functions. So there are many ways to optimize the brain, but if you don't start by looking, you don't know, and you can't optimize people then. And you know, it's why I did the study, because in this 15 years the NFL had its concussion committee, it had never once sponsored a functional brain imaging study. And in my mind, I'm like, well, then you really don't want to know the answer, because how do you know unless you look?
Well, I mean, I think that type of an attitude is tantamount to Bountygate, because, I mean, if you're going to put these athletes at risk because I don't want to know, don't tell me, and then how different is that than targeting somebody to be beat up or attacked, which that has to be probably one of the greatest traumas that they could be receiving. I mean, you got a collision sport already, but then you've got 10 people jumping on you at the same time. And I've seen that where certain players are targeted. It's just a known fact that players are targeted. And, you know, if you're a large athlete and it's hard to take you down, there'll be 4 to 5 people on you. Yeah. And that's just an average play out there. But just imagine if you're literally putting a dollar on someone's back. Imagine how much that must be contributing to the actual, you know, evidence of brain concussions. I mean, we're seeing that over and over and above. But I don't want to beat up the NFL, because I want to switch to the baseball industry. Because we had a player last week that clearly had a concussion and did not recognize he had a concussion and has never been diagnosed with a concussion, but now at the age of 60, he's getting the actual symptoms of the brain deteriorating. And that was from a frontal hit of a ball square into his mask, tore the mask off, and basically they sent him home to his hotel, and he literally drove himself to the hospital and then had to be taken by an ambulance to a regional hospital to be treated and then sent home. At the age of 60, he's now starting to see the symptoms. So, you know, there's a really major occurrence of baseball players committing suicide, greater than football players. And no one has studied that to find out why that's happening. So I know they have a great occurrence of injuries as well. So that may be connected to it as well. But I want to bring Dr. Abe in here, because you kind of heard how he does the brain scanning and everything like that. How does that work with what you're doing to basically improve the protocol?
Well, let's thank you, Ida. Let's first be clear. I mean, Dr. Daniel Amen is a legend in brain rehabilitation and brain enhancement. He's a neuropsychiatrist. I mean, he is indeed an expert. My name is, Ab Boonswong. I'm a cardiothoracic surgeon, as you mentioned, and I am not an expert like Dr. Amen by any stretch of the imagination. However, I am having some successful results with people that have had strokes and that have had brain injury, And again, Ida, as we spoke about last week, it's kind of been in a roundabout fashion. Dr. Amen, I have come across this technology that's not new. It's been around for 40 or 50 years. You haven't mentioned it yet, so again, it might also be something that, you know, you haven't come across yourself. I mean, again, we're both MDs. I certainly didn't hear about photobiomodulation in medical school. We didn't learn about it in residency. It's been written about in a lot of journals, but mostly done overseas in, you know, European journals. Not a whole lot in the United States. And what it is, you know, using photobiomodulation is very similar to sort of photosynthesis in plants. It works on the principle that when light of certain wavelengths are used and they're emitted by either lasers or light-emitting diodes, they are absorbed by a chromophore in the mitochondria. That chromophore is a receptor. It's called cytochrome C oxidase. But the point is that when it's absorbed, the photon energy causes electrons to be excited, and they jump from low-energy orbits to higher-energy orbits, and then that stored energy can be used by the system to perform various cellular tasks. I can say, you know, that's the long way to start off answering your question, but you were asking me about, you know, because I do know about SPECT imaging, of course, because we do that for the heart. Again, I'm a heart surgeon. I haven't looked at a SPECT of the brain in a long time. Actually, I was a neurosurgery resident, before I went into cardiothoracic surgery, only for 2 years. But there have been... what I've been doing, Dr. Amen, has been, helping stroke patients rehabilitate by using my devices and using the device to emit the light transcranially. So I've been shining it on their frontal lobe, temporal lobe area, parietal lobe, of course, on the top of their head, and even in the back. And, you know, even though it's a class 3B laser, so the light, the power is not a class 4. There's no heat, there's no sound, there's no vibration. But there is a sense, again, in the literature, and again, I've been able to see this, which has been fairly amazing, that there is some I'm not seeing that there is absorption, but I am seeing some fairly dramatic clinical changes in patients from, you know, like you were saying, issues with memory, issues with depression. I've seen patients, even though I wasn't treating them for memory and depression, they did have some benefits there. I've been able to help people with their speech, and I was even able to help people in terms of some of their motor function. The legs have been much more easily to be rehabilitated than the upper extremities. But, again, that is, you know, some of what I've been doing. I have not yet done SPECT before, you know, functional brain imaging before the treatment and then after. I've only done neuropsychological testing and then, of course, you know, very, very detailed neurologic exams. However, you know, and I do the NIH stroke scale, of course, which is, you know, it's okay. It's not, you know, it's okay. That's going to be how that test is administered is, of course, going to be contingent upon who's doing it, and the results can be sometimes subjective. So I'm very interested in, you know, talking to you further. I mean, when we're done the show and just, you know, getting together, because, using your technology and your expertise, which is just phenomenal, I would like to speak to you about what I've done and maybe how that might able to combine with what you're doing. I think it might be a really good marriage, as Ida says.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying, because I'm convinced that the method that Dr. Amen is using is working, because number one is that it is showing, you're recognizing symptomatic improvements is what I hear you saying, Dr. Amen. I imagine that there's also some clinical things that you're seeing as well. I mean, so I guess you're seeing somebody who's been diagnosed and treated with depression now begin to change gradually. I guess you're seeing that.
Well, and many people who have depression actually have it secondary to traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah.
But you know, Ab, as you're talking, it's, you know, when I first started doing imaging, what it did is it opened my mind to using other things, because I saw that I just didn't have to give my patients medications. I had other options.
Yeah.
So, for example, with our players, hyperbaric oxygen treatment has been amazing. And initially, you know, I had no treatment in it, had no opinion on it.
Sure.
But I would see before and after scans from my colleagues, and that caused me to pay attention. Yeah. And we published a study last year on soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, showed remarkable improvement in neuropsych testing, but also in their scans, and it's like, well, we should do it. And then after Junior Seau died, Antoine Bolden went on national television and said, you know, he could have prevented that if he had hyperbaric oxygen, because it had been so helpful to him. Now, I don't know if we could have prevented it, but the imaging opens your mind, and so the photobiomodulation that you do, somebody should absolutely do before and after functional imaging, so that you can see, well, how does it help, and in what cases does it help? And when people can see before and after differences, it motivates them to do more. So that's one of the things we found. What the imaging does is it decreases stigma, increases compliance, increases the physician's ability to target treatment, and it opens his or her mind to what are the other things available so that I can optimize my patient's brain.
Okay. Well, we're going to go to a three-minute break. We're going to come back, and we're going to continue this discussion of how the protocol that Dr. Abe is using and Dr. Amen is using, if it actually presents maybe a before and after type treatment plan and protocol. So we'll talk about protocol when we come back, because I'm getting a lot of questions now on my email asking me, how does this treatment work? What do you do? How is it done? Does it cover by insurance? What is it? How much does it cost? These are the questions I'm getting bombarded with. We'll come back in three, and we'll try to answer those questions for our listeners.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Tune in to a show about making a comeback and what really goes on behind the scenes with your favorite athletes and beyond. Listen for The Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. A lot of people believe what they read on the internet, hear and see in the media, and on the news. We're going to give our guests the chance to tell the real story without the extra hype. It's not just sports, although that will be a focal point of the program. We'll also look at the world of celebrities, music, modeling, and more. Listen every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Ready for in-your-face sports? Want to talk about the topics that nobody else is willing to talk about, either because they're too scared to touch them or just don't think it's the way to go? You're not going to be shy here. Tune in to Here's the Deal with Mega and Steel, featuring Ike Mega Griffin and Sydney Steel Justice. We've got the facts to back up the talk and invite you to join us every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, just before the weekend on the Voice America Sports Channel. We tell it like it is.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Mavericks Show. This is part two of proactive treatment of concussions in sports. We've got two phenomenal physicians with us tonight. We've got Dr. Amen from the Amen Clinic, and we have Dr. A, who is also a cardiothoracic surgeon, who has actually been involved in developing devices through photomodulation that is having significant results with stroke patients. And we're talking about tonight protocol of merging medicine as well as physiology together here in terms of treating concussions. As you know, that Junior Seau, of course, killed himself at the age of 42. And when I went back into my research, that tends to be the typical age when athletes decide that they're going to kill themselves. And it must be that the symptoms are beginning to show themselves, or they have begun to actually deteriorate. The brain is deteriorating, and they're seeing the things that they do not want others to see. And therefore, they go into depression, they isolate themselves, and they tell no one. And then they do a desperate step, like pulling a gun. And it's interesting because in everything I've read, the choice of weapon has been a gun. So I'm going to bring my doctors back here to talk about that a little bit. Why the gun? Why do they take a gun? Well, I mean, what is it that brings them to that point that they want to take a gun out and shoot themselves?
Well, you know, women try to kill themselves four times more than men. But men actually succeed twice as much as women because we use more violent means. So one, it's the higher levels of testosterone. Two, there's now an NFL way of killing yourself. You shoot yourself in the chest so you can donate your brain. So even these players, Dave Duerson was the first one to do it and then texted before he died. He wanted to donate his brain. We need to stop it. I mean, you know, men in some ways are more goal-directed.
You're thinking of Duerson, who used to be an actual sports announcer on this network. We called him Double D. And I heard him the night before he killed himself on the show. So that's a real tragedy for me because he was actually a very prominent, you know, sports announcer here on this network.
Wow.
And to see that happen, that just shook me to the core. And then Junior Seau, who, you know, my family have had a chance to sit with him and his family in Hawaii and to see, and know his children and know his ex-wife and to know that he got to that desperation. But I want to talk about suicide because that suicide was a statement. It was almost like, you know, that I may, you'll never find out the things that I've experienced, but I want you to know I'm still the man that I am. I'm leaving a statement. So there you go. It's a statement, you know. My brain has been preserved. So let's go back to just the beginning. We talked about Pop Warner. We talked about, you know, high school football. We talked about, and they usually have a dual sports they play in high school, which is cross training. And then we talked about going into college and now in the NFL. Let's talk about how do we, number one, do a better job of, number one, assessing, managing, and treating these situations. And I'm going to start with you, Dr. Amen. How can we stop this before it's a real problem?
Well, the first thing is you have to admit that you have a problem. For a long time, the NFL, I think, was in denial. And in front of Congress in 2009, Commissioner Goodell said, we just don't know if it's a problem. We're studying the issue. So they've gone beyond that. Now they admit that they have a problem. Okay, now you admit you have a problem. You can do something about it. So just by the fact that they own football is a brain-damaging sport. Okay, so what do? Well, you decrease the damage as much as possible, and they're changing the rules. That's why it came out so harsh in Bountygate, I'm sure. The second thing, and they've not done this yet, is they need to put brain health at the center of their locker rooms and their training facilities. They need to feed them right, encourage brain healthy habits like sleep and not over exercising, which can in fact hurt the brain, to really educate them why they shouldn't be drinking because it damages brain function and you already have trouble. Most of the suicides occur after people have been drinking, which decreases impulse control. It's not unusual to have suicidal thoughts. According to one study, 55% of us at some point in our life had thought about killing ourselves. But when you drop your frontal lobes from alcohol, now all of a sudden you might act out without forethought where you wouldn't have done that before. So it's very important to own the problem and then to put brain health and brain rehabilitation at the center of the discussion. And, okay, so admitting we have a problem, we have to go to that next step. And we published a study last year in the journal Nature Translational Psychiatry that showed in our NFL players, as their weight went up, the size and function of their brain went down. So it is just critical to teach these people how to be physically healthy. And a lot of people, you know, they're eating 4,000 calories a day to bulk up their bodies, but nobody tells them to stop it once, you know, during the off season or when they retire. And being obese damages brain function. And clearly half the players we saw in our study were obese.
So again, what you're saying here is that there's not enough preventive measures that presently exist. And a lot of it has a lot to do with when you're in college, for instance, you can control those things while they're in the first and second year because they live on campus and they have a meal card. But then when you go off campus, that's when you see the booze parties and you see the overeating and the McDonald's and the Burger Kings and all that stuff starts to come into play. So now you move into the NFL where you have millions of dollars that you can now go out and buy, you know, yourself a 32-pound T-bone, you know, or drink a whole bottle of Cavassier, or you go to these parties that is just food flowing everywhere, and you're partying to all ends of the hour. So all of that is really, really contributing to the long-term impact of, you know, the actual damage of these brains that are obviously being subjected to collisions during the actual natural play. Now, here's the thing. These are grown men. They have to accept some responsibility. And I want to just give you a good point. We encouraged my nephew to do preconditioning before he went to the combine to prepare himself for the rigor of the combine, which included nutrition from Athlete's Performance, which is an excellent program out there. And also, when he's in the NFL, every single offseason, he heads to the desert to recondition himself, to lose weight, to do exercise, to do all those things. But when he's on the plane going out to Arizona, half of the people he knows he's meeting in Atlanta are going home for off-season, and they're not doing conditioning. So there is something to be said, and not all responsibility goes to the NFL, is that these players are grown men, and they should be enforcing some of these things. So the knowledge that you're sharing with me not only should be shared at the NFL level, but also it needs to be at the forefront of these players' regimen on and off the field in that regard. So now, Dr. Abb, you talk about how your device works before, during, and after a game. Talk a little bit about that, because that to me is immediate impact.
Yeah, I really, really like what Dr. Amen said about brain health needs to be at the forefront in the locker room. Because that, again, and everything you've been talking about, Ida, also has been about educating. I mean, yes, they're grown men, but they just don't know. They're grown men, but they still need to be educated. The agents need to be educated. The parents need to be educated. What I think, to answer your question, you know, and Dr. Amon, just to, you know, say it to you, my device is portable, and it has these diodes. I mean, I have a laser head and a LED head, and it's portable, so it's just like you can put it in a backpack, and you bring it, you know, you can bring it on the field. And my contention, and again, I don't have a study to back this up yet. All I do is I have a lot of clinical data, but I would love to do a study, or, you know, maybe even, again, I'd like to talk to Dr. Amon about what, you know, his thoughts would be on this, or how we could implement this in a way together. But my feeling is you get these athletes, whether they're in high school or college or even before high school or the pros, and you treat them with my device. And again, the beautiful thing is you put it, you know, you put it on their head at the various spots, and it doesn't take but 5 to 10 minutes. Those are most of the protocols that I have. And then you would use that after every game, of course, because every play in football, Dr. Amon has been talking about, every play is almost a mild TBI, traumatic brain injury, because they're butting heads and they're clashing all the time. And these helmets protect your skull, but they're not essentially protecting your brain. I believe Dr. Amon has said that. So using the device beforehand, you can use the device beforehand. You're using the device after their games. I mean, what it does, and again, it helps increase the ATP production of the cells. And the way it does that, Daniel, and just in case, you know, some of the people haven't, you know, heard me last week or not familiar with the technology, is that in stressed cells, nitric oxide is produced, and nitric oxide is at a premium. It's produced by this mitochondrial nitric oxide synthase. What happens then is this nitric oxide binds to cytochrome C oxidase, so oxygen cannot bind. What the light does, my device, and others out there, but I think mine's the best, yeah, I'm biased, but what it does then, it displaces the nitric oxide from the cytochrome C oxidase, so then the oxygen can bind. You get unhindered cellular respiration. You get increased ATP production. You get increased in cyclic AMP, cyclic GMP, other neuroprotective mechanisms, neuroprotective agents and genes and proteins get upregulated. So the point is then that, you know, even though, and it also helps with decreasing edema and inflammation, Dr. Amon. So it kind of hits primary mechanisms of brain injury and then those secondary mechanisms that you know, you, of course, would know about, you know, mitochondrial dysfunction, inflammatory responses, you know, ischemia from vasospasm or, you know, maybe microvascular occlusion and things like that. And it's so easy to use, and the protocols are so simple, meaning it's just 5 or 10 minutes of transcranial illumination. You don't have to shave the person's head. You just part their hair out of the way where in the certain spots. And I would love to have these NFL players and Major League Baseball players treat and get spec scans like Dr. Amon is saying, and then do his method, you know, which could possibly include this photobiomodulation, and then at the end of the season, see how they're different. Maybe even do it before a game and after a game. I mean, it's very exciting what Dr. Amon has been saying, and I'm very excited that you brought me on the show to share my technology with somebody who's just such a legend in the field, you know, because I'm a cardiac surgeon. I am not a neuropsychiatrist, but I've learned a lot today, Ida, and it's a privilege to be speaking with you and Dr. Amon today.
Well, thank you very much. Well, folks, you know, we're getting toward the end of the show, and, you know, that's when we obviously have to say goodbye. But before we do that, I just want to let Dr. Abe and Dr. Amon know that we're going to continue this discussion. I want to be able to invite both of you back as we begin to stretch our panel here and really begin to get the word out. That's what I'm looking forward to because, you know, I know a lot of these players. And I have seen them get concussions, and I have seen them go through the years with succession of concussions, and I worry about their families and their children and what it's going to look like later on in life. If there's any kind of way
here on Sports Maverick that we can get the word out and really spread, I call it spread the gospel, and that we change this protocol from just assessing and managing to basically getting proactive. I think that's the key word here, is that when you've got an organization that is a $40 billion marketing, $40 billion marketing machine, and that's what the NFL is. It is the largest sports organization in the world because of its broadcasting capabilities. That's $40 billion. That's a lot of kahunas. And you mean to tell me that they're not being proactive in protecting their assets? It doesn't make sense. So that's why sometimes they don't know what they have to know. So that's why people like yourself are very, very valuable to getting the word out. And I'm just so pleased to have you here and to share that, to be out in front with that. My emails are going off the chain here. People are writing me like crazy. So we're going to say good night and thank you, Dr. Amen and Dr. Abe. And hopefully we're going to continue this on part three. I'd like to invite you back to the show so we can continue this discussion. Thank you so much tonight, and I'm looking forward to talking with you in the future. Again, good night, folks. This is the Sports Maverick Show. We'll be back next week with the same topic. That is proactive treatment and concussions in sports.
Actions speak louder than words, and you know, talk is cheap.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.